This is Germ Warfare, the battle of ideas.
Well, I got aboard the USS Liberty at the end of 1965. And it was a spy ship. We found that out. I found that out later. As you saw in the Candace interview, I was pretty open about that. But yeah, we were the most sophisticated spy ship in the world at the time. USS Liberty was the cream of the crop spy ship. Was hardly none like her. We were fifth in the class of Liberty ships, USS Liberty of spy ships of that nature.
When you say you only found out later that it was a spy ship, what do you mean?
Well, everything was so secret. I really didn't know what they were doing. And then we figured it out. I mean, after I was on there a while, I understood what the deal was. Our job and only job in engineering was to get us from point A to point B, to take the CTs, the spies, NSA, CIA people, anywhere they wanted to go. And without us, they didn't have any hot water. They didn't have any warm food. They didn't have any clean clothes. So we took care of pretty much all the ship, engineering and the forward part of the ship was boats and mates and cooks and things like that.
So what was your role on the ship?
I was in engineering. I was a ship fitter, third class at the time. And my GQ station was damage control forward, damage control two in the forward part of the ship. That's where my GQ station was, damage control, if we went into any kind of problems. Or we practice drills all the time with the captain. He's very sticky about that. So we practice all the time.
So just to be clear, you were on the ship, I'm guessing, because it wasn't very armed, you knew it was a reconnaissance ship of some sort, right? Research.
Yes. Yes, research. Technical research. Geographical Technical Research, number 5. That was the fifth ship in that class. We'd never been in the Mediterranean. And that was my third cruise aboard Liberty. Never went to the Med. Our duty was to go up and down the coast of Africa. We did that all the time, very slow, about 5 knots, up and down the coast of Africa. When we left on the last cruise, we left Norfolk, Virginia, and headed to Africa again. And it was, everything was normal. Nothing had changed. Our routine didn't change. We got to Africa. The first port we hit was Abidjan. And we stayed there approximately maybe 4 or 5 hours tops, and we had emergency orders to leave and get underway immediately. And that's what we did. But we didn't know where we were going or why we were going there. Or, you know, they didn't tell us. We just said, they said, get everybody back aboard ship ASAP now. We're taking off. And that's what we did.
Okay, so then what happened next?
Well, we went to Rota, Spain, and picked up three more linguists. Actually, there was four. There was three Marines. They were all linguists, and one NSA personnel, NSA CIA personnel, I'm not sure, but it was one and the same as far as I'm concerned. His name, Alan Blue, he perished that day, along with two of the Marines that came aboard that day. They perished during the attack, but we... went into the Mediterranean. We knew the Six-Day War was going on then. So they told us go to off the coast of the Sinai, and that's what we did. We were 12.5 miles off the coast of Sinai, going up and down, turning around, going back and forth, just like we always did, picking signals out of the sky, which is perfectly legal. Everybody did it, and that's exactly what our mission was. is to pick signals up out of the sky. On June the 7th, we got there on station on June the 7th. We were overflown by Israeli recon aircraft, twin engine planes, smaller planes, and they repeated that on June the 8th, early in the morning for, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours. They would dip their wings and wave at us. We'd wave at the pilots. That's how close they came. We could see the Star of David on the airplane, so we thought everything was great. You know, they're there to protect us. Because we did ask for a destroyer air escort to take us into that area because we knew we were in a war zone. We were not. We were denied not once but twice by higher authority. I would assume that would have been Admiral John McCain Jr. that refused us. Says you're not in a you're not a man of war. You're clearly marked as American. You have nothing to fear. So when we saw the Israeli planes, we thought, good, they're there anyway because they're our friends. They're certainly there if anything would happen. We could see the bombs going off on the coast. Big black puffs of smoke. I mean, it was a lot of it. And at 2 o'clock, the attack began, and it started with Mystere Mirage jets that fired rockets, cannon, machine guns at us. This went on for approximately 25 minutes. Now, within that time span, they knocked out every one of our tuning antennas. Everything we had to communicate with was knocked out. Every watertight door on that ship was taken out above the waterline. So they knew what they were doing. Terry Haldabardier took a tuning antenna offline because it wasn't tuning correctly. So he took it offline so it wasn't hit. In this 25-minute span, he got a coaxial cable, hooked it up, and got a matey out to the Sixth Fleet's Rockstar, under attack by unknown jet aircraft. Come help. Rockstar, under attack. Captain Tully got that message off the USS Saratoga and immediately launched aircraft to come to our aid. McNamara got on the line and said, recall those aircraft. Do not go help Liberty. Return to base. And they did.
What?
Yes. And that wasn't it. That wasn't all of it. Then the USS America and USS Saratoga relaunch again. They're ready aircraft to come get us. They weren't nuclear armed. They were just conventionally armed aircraft. They could have been there in 40 minutes. LBJ got on the phone. Lyndon Baines Johnson, that dirty snake of a president, got on the phone and says, turn those airplanes back. Get them back to base now. I will not embarrass my ally Israel for a few dead sailors. Now, how did he know who was attacking us if we didn't know who was attacking us? Because we didn't know. We thought it was the Arab states, Egypt or somebody, because we didn't know how the war was going, that they had already taken out all their airplanes and everything out on the first day of the war. We were set up by our own government to sink and blame it on Nasser to bring us into World War III, which will come in a little later in the story.
Were there any other ships in the vicinity?
No. We were the only ship in the vicinity, and we were identified by the Israelis as American and friendly way before the attack. They had us on their war table, plotted us as American and friendly. And then their excuse was...
Sorry, but to be clear, they knew that the ship was American.
Absolutely they knew. They plotted us on the war table. They admitted that they knew we were an American ship, but they changed their excuse. Was the IDF excuse was they took us off their war table and didn't tell the other watch commander we were in the area, so they just forgot about us. They thought we were gone. As ridiculous as that sounds, that was their excuse. And the other excuse was they thought we were the El Kazir an Egyptian horse transport that was half sunk in Alexandria. So that's how we come to the conclusion, and many scholars and the survivors come to the same conclusion. We were set up by our own government, which is not a theory. It's not a theory at all. It's a fact. Our own government sent us up to sink to bring us into World War III. But with the airplanes being recalled, the torpedo boats got there. We could see them off to our port side. They had the Star of David on their boats, on their flags. Flagged PT boats, Star of David on them. We thought they were there to help us, because we still didn't know who was attacking us. We thought it was the Arabs. No, it was the Israelis. They didn't come there to help us. They come there to sink us. Now, this attack, the last part of the attack, if I can call it last, lasted 1 hour and a half. They fired five torpedoes at us. Two went aft, I know. Where the other two went, I do not know, but I know where one hit. It hit in the CT spaces, the communications, the spies, and killed 25 beautiful Americans, blew them to bits instantly. They circled the ship and circled the ship and circled the ship, shooting at our firefighters and stretcher bearers. And I might add, during the air attack, they dropped napalm on the bridge of the ship.
No.
Yes. Yes. They dropped napalm on us, too. So this went on over and over for an hour and a half. If you can imagine, 2 hours of constant hell. Nowhere to go, nowhere to hide, nowhere to run. Because those cannons and rockets and machine guns were going through the ship like Swiss cheese. So all the life rafts were shot up. During the initial attack, or when the torpedo boats got there, they were gone. We only had three left. We put over three life rafts to put our most seriously wounded in them. And there was a lot of them seriously wounded. I mean, you can't believe how serious these guys were. And they shot two of the life rafts out of the water and took one aboard their boat as a trophy of the kill.
That is,
and this continued. It's a true story. It's God's honest truth. And this continued for 2 hours. They did this to us. They couldn't sink us, no matter how they tried. And then they sent troop-carrying helicopters over to come finish us off, to board our ship and scuttle it, sink it. And for some reason, they just took off and left us there.
So it was a full-scale Israeli attack on this one ship.
Yes. About as full-scale as you could get.
And did you guys try and get away?
Well, there was nowhere to get away to. I mean, we're a lonely ship doing 5 knots. And here we got jet aircraft, Mystere Mirage jets, attacking us. And then you got three mortar torpedo boats attacking us. Napalm burning us up. There's nothing. There was no place to go. I mean, we were just sitting ducks, and that's what it was meant for. We were sitting ducks, set up by our own government to be slaughtered by the Zionist state. And our government now is covering it up, just as probably more so now than they did in '67. Because every person in Congress is either bought and paid for by AIPAC, ADL. Their masters are not the masters of the American people. Their masters are the Zionist state. Tom Massey said that very well. Congressman Tom Massey. He says, every Republican in Congress that he knows of has an AIPAC handler. You must get permission for them before you do anything. On Israel, for sure. So that's control. That's the control of our government. But They left us out there. Our government left us out there for 17 hours when help was only 40 minutes away. They didn't even send a Piper Cub over to see if we were still afloat. That's how rotten and dirty the whole thing was.
So I'm just trying to picture it. The ship was clearly marked. Let's just play devil's advocate for a second and pretend that the ship might not have looked American. Did the ship look very American?
Absolutely. It was an American ship. This was a World War II victory hull ship.
I mean, the flag. Was it on the ship?
Oh, yeah. We had a 5x8 flag flying. They shot two of our flags down, two 5x8 flags we put up. Well, I didn't personally, but Joe Matters and I believe Russell David and Francis Brown raised the holiday colors, which is 7x13. It's the largest flag you could fly. It's called for holidays, you know, for, you know, President's Day or something, you know, something like that or whatever. And we put that up, 7x13, and they said they never could see a flag. Never could see a flag flying. They said it was not visible.
Now, Phil, while this was going on, where were you and what were you doing?
I was in damage control. I was trying to do what I could to get people off deck, put out fires, anything we could do to help each other. I mean, that's all we had was each other. I mean, it's hard to look back on, but, you know, I live it every day. What we went through and what our government did to us then and what they're doing to us now. The USS America showed up 17 hours later with the USS Davis, USS Massey, and their component of their armada. For the Sixth Fleet, you know, with the USS America. It was a big aircraft carrier, by the way. Now, it's one of the aircraft carriers that was ordered not to help us. I might add that Captain Tully of the USS Saratoga lost his job over that, coming to help us. They fired him. They took his command away from him. He was a World War II ace pilot, highly decorated. The only thing he did wrong was sent help to us. So the USS America got there. They sent helicopters over to take off the most seriously, which was most of the crew. There were 294 souls aboard the Liberty. 34 were killed. 174 were wounded. Out of a crew of 294. So two-thirds of the crew was either dead or wounded. Now, when I talk about wounded, I'm talking about blown-up wounded. I'm not talking about a little bit of shrapnel here and there like I got. I was walking wounded, thank God. But they got those people off and got them on America or wherever else. They could send them to Germany or wherever they could to get them definitive care to try to save their lives.
So now, the aftermath.
The aftermath was nothing but unbelievability. How could this ship stay afloat with all they did to us? And it wasn't us. It was the hand of God that did that. He didn't want us to sink. He wanted us to stay alive to tell the truth, and that's what I'm doing right now. Telling the truth about exactly what they did and what they got by with.
What happened in the days and weeks and even months after the event?
Well, the first couple days, Jeremy, Admiral Isaac Kidd and Ward Boston, he was a JAG officer at the time, he was a captain, came aboard our ship and interrogated the crew that was on there, left. They interrogated all of us. I was in sick bay with four or five other guys. Admiral Kidd came into the sick bay and asked us all kinds of questions. He took off his stars, threw them on the table, said, "Now I'm just like you, Dad. I'm a regular guy. I'm just like you, Dad. Tell me everything. I got to know so I can get this investigation right." And we felt good about that. We felt relieved. Well, at least we get to get this out, you know, get this out of the way and tell them what they did. And we told them everything. Shooting our firefighters, the life rafts, shooting anything that moved. It didn't matter what it was. They'd shoot it or kill it. Maim it or kill it. That was their duty. The IDF's duty. So we told them, you know, how they shot the life rafts up. How come help didn't come help us? And on and on and on. Everything we could say. I mean, there's a lot of pent-up emotion there. I mean, I was still on adrenaline. I was still running on adrenaline at this time. You know, it's just 2 days after the attack, and here they come aboard the ship and you get an investigation going. So, after we told them everything we saw, everything we heard, why didn't help come get us, come help us? We didn't know that help was denied us twice and all that stuff that came later. We didn't know that. But he says, "I'm going to tell you guys." And he got beat red right in my face. And he says, "I'm going to tell you something. If you ever repeat a word of this to anybody, I'll make sure you have fines. You'll be fined. Imprisonment." And that meant Leavenworth prison, hardcore federal prison, or worse. He says, "You know what worse means?" He says, "Yes, sir, I do." And his stars were back on, and then he left. So that was what they did. They told us to shut up and never say anything. All of our rights were taken away. We didn't have any rights. None. And I'm not the only one they told that to either.
What are the implications of this becoming mainstream?
The implications are shattering. It'd be like a giant earthquake hitting the American public in the face, and the world for that matter. You know, we were if we sink, we're only several minutes away from a nuclear war. Because nuclear aircraft were in the air even before our ship got attacked from SAC, Strategic Air Command. They were on their way, loaded with nukes, to nuke Cairo. Because they hated Nasser. Johnson hated Nasser. The Jews, Israel, definitely hated Nasser. So it was all a set-up deal. This was probably done a year in advance. They planned this attack to pull it off the way they did.
And that would explain why they were doing reconnaissance the day before.
Absolutely. 2 days, the 7th and the 8th, they did that. They knew exactly where to hit, what to hit, and how fast to hit it.
What do you think Johnson thought would happen? Did he think that the blame would be shifted to Egypt, or perhaps, oh, it was just a mistake or something?
Well, yeah, that was the plan, is to blame it on Nasser. I mean, we go down, who's going to be the wiser? First, you know, here we got the USS Liberty sunk in the Mediterranean. Would you think the Israelis would have done it? Or who would you blame? That was the whole deal, and that's exactly what they wanted, and that's what they did. But by the hand of God, our ship did not sink. We stayed afloat to tell the truth, even through all these years in our Congress, then and now, to deny us justice. Every president since LBJ to Donald J. Trump have not given us a helping hand to bring this to a conclusion for the survivors, their families, and those men that perished that day. their lives will not die in vain as long as I'm alive. They were murdered in cold blood. This wasn't a war between the United States or us against Israel or anybody else. We were set up, and we were just, lambs led to the slaughter. And boy, did they do a lot of slaughtering.
Philip, when you say set up, though, who did the initial setup? Was it the U.S. government or Israel?
LBJ and Levi Eskel. Levi Eskel was the premier of Israel at the time, prime minister, whatever you want to call him. So they cooked it up. When JFK was assassinated, Johnson told Israel, "You had a friend in Kennedy, but I'm a greater friend than you ever had." And he was. He was the best friend you could get. And it's been that way ever since.
And there's never been an official investigation?
No, not one. The Congress says, yeah, there's been several investigations. We've already investigated this. But they're lying. They're all liars. They never investigated it. The only investigation they ever had was a 7-day scam investigation, the Board of Inquiry, which concluded the attack was a mistake in identity, when all the evidence led to the premeditation of the attack. Lyndon Johnson ordered that attack be ruled as a mistaken identity, and it was ruled a mistaken identity, which is the farthest thing from the truth. It was not a mistake. It was cold-blooded, premeditated murder by the Zionist state in America, setting us up to be slaughtered by so-called ally Israel.
Why do you think the U.S. government is in bed with the Israeli government?
Why do you think? I think it's money, control, blackmail, murder, you name it. By way of deception, is the way of the Mossad. And they've taken over our country. The ADL, AIPAC, they own our country. We're not a free country. We're owned by the Zionist state. I do want to add this. Yeah, absolutely. Mm. I do want to add this. Now, when we get into port in Malta, we get into dry dock, and they drain the hull, the ship. All the water comes out of it, and along with it are blown up shipmates. 25 of them that got killed that in a blink of an eye. The CTs, the spies, had to go down that were left able to do it, to get those body parts out of there. They wouldn't let anybody else do it but them. And we were in Malta for 33 days, something like that, and headed back to the States, but we weren't even allowed to wear our uniform on leave, or go over to get a beer or whatever. You had to wear civilian clothes that we weren't even able to possess. You weren't allowed to have civilian clothes on a ship at that time. So we had to make do with what people had. And because they didn't want us talking to anybody. We weren't allowed to talk to anybody, especially the press. So there's been a lid on it ever since. And we've been trying to get the truth out. And here we are, still trying to get the truth out all the way to South Africa.
Do you think, Phil, that the truth will come out, but only when everybody is gone?
Well, I don't think the truth will ever come out, even if we're all gone. I mean, what's the purpose of the truth coming out then?
Nobody's accountable.
Yeah. Well, I don't think it'll ever be held accountable for anything they've done. Or our government. helping him do it. They helped the Israelis murder Americans. That's treason. It was treason there, and it's treason now not to investigate it. If this is so cut and dry, why doesn't the Congress bring the survivors in front of Congress, drill us, anything you want to do, waterboard us, torture us, and nothing's going to change. The truth is the truth.
How many of you are left that were on the ship?
I'm not sure. 50, 60 maybe. 50 or 60. There's not many that are active in the association. I mean, a lot of these guys are still suffering from wounds, believe it or not. I got a friend, a dear friend. He was in engineering also, Bill LeMay. He's a third-class electrician. He still got 50 pieces of shrapnel in his body, 50 pieces. They couldn't get it out. And there's other guys like that too. I just got off the phone the other day with a guy I haven't heard from in 57 years, Jerry Ward. He was a boatswain, third-class boatswain. And he has suffered so many horrific wounds. I can't even tell him on air. It's too horrific to even tell. But he's still suffering to this day. And he's been silent all these years. Think about it, all by itself, all these years until just recently. That's a tough one right there on a guy, I can tell you. The organization got started in 1982, 83, in that area. James Ennis Jr. came out with a book. He was a lieutenant aboard the ship. He was a spy also in the CT spaces. He came up with a book called Assault on the Liberty. And then our organization got started. People started coming out, talking. I didn't learn about it until I saw an article in the paper by Master Chief Stan White, who's also a communications technician. And that's been 41, 42 years ago. And I said, well, if he can talk about it, I can. And I've been talking about it ever since. I haven't shut up.
And nobody's come after you?
Yeah, I've had threats. I've had Mossad threat. I don't know if it was really a Mossad or a pretend Mossad, but I got the message. My wife was there too. Shut up and keep your mouth shut, or else. You know, I get threats online, and you know, call me a liar, a Jew hater, a Nazi. I didn't kill anybody. Israel did all the killing. We didn't kill anybody. How can I? Just for telling the truth, they call me, want to label the crew. That's not fair at all.
What did you do next once you returned to the States?
Well, I got out of the Navy December the 12th, 1967. Then I went on my merry way. I had a wife and a kid at the time, and I did rejoin the Navy a couple of years after that. I wasn't working, broke, had a kid, not working. You know, it was hard times then. You know, the Vietnam War was going on, and all kinds of things were happening. Anyway, I went back in. I got aboard the USS Maddox. That lasted a couple of years, and I got out again, and I was done. I couldn't serve my country anymore after what they did to us. I think they picked that ship on purpose because of its name to be attacked and sunk. They sunk the Liberty. The Arabs sunk the Liberty. America had been screaming for blood, screaming for it. And they'd have got it. They'd have got plenty of it. Because they were getting ready to get nuked.
Just to be clear, did the ship actually sink?
No. We limped into Malta. That was about, 7 days later, something like that. And they fixed the ship up. in 33 days. They plug all the holes, they cut all the holes out, plug everything up. There's almost a 40 by 40 foot torpedo hole in the starboard side. There were over 821 rocket and cannon machine guns holes in the ship. Cannon rocket holes, excuse me. Over 5,000 armor-piercing bullets. Napalm burning us up. The whole side of the port side was burned up by napalm. There's no way to put it out. We couldn't fight fires anyway. Our fire hydrants were, hoses were all shot up. We had nothing. We were just sitting ducks. Nothing. But by the grace of God, we survived. And that's why I'm still here. Yelling as loud as I can from the rooftops. This was no mistaken identity. This was cold-blooded, premeditated murder set up by our own government to be sunk by a foreign government.
What is the lesson that we can learn here?
A lesson to be learned is your government tells you a lot of lies. Your government will tell you a lot of things that they don't want people to know. They don't tell you things that people should know. In the USS Liberty is a red hot spear, tip of the spear, to not only just America, but the world, of what they did and what can happen. There could be a false flag in the Med right now. I mean, they could, who knows, and bring us into another world war. That was the plan then. It was all, in our view, or my view especially, it was nothing more than a land grab. They got the Golan Heights after that from Syria. They defeated their enemies within days, and then they wanted to sink us so they could have it all. What they're getting now in Gaza is what they wanted in 1967. I mean, if you've seen anything about Gaza, they wiped it out. Nothing but rubble and poor people suffering beyond suffering is unimaginable.
Well, just remember that my country took Israel to the international court.
I know it. I know they did. In fact, one of your prime ministers, name escapes me, doggone it. He was very adamant about Israel and the duplicity they do and everything like that and what they get caught up in. I do know that.
But there's something interesting here. It shows the deceitful nature of the Israeli government.
The government, yes. The governments of both governments, the U.S. and Israel. Our mission is not out to, or especially my mission is not out to destroy or condemn all Israelis. That isn't even close to the way I think. Not even a tenth of it. But the part that needs to be exposed and must be exposed is the dirty, rotten, filthy side of it that they get by with. Now, they told their people, I'm sure, it was a mistaken identity, and they bought it. I mean, how would they know any different? You know? And people that do a little research can figure out, no, it was not a mistaken identity. It was cold-blooded, premeditated murder. And I don't know if you've seen the film called Sacrificing Liberty.
Yes.
Okay. That's a very well documented film. And if you've seen it, you pretty much know the story about why and what for and why they did it.
Do you think that Donald Trump might lend an ear in his term?
That's a very good question. I really hope he does. I pray he does. You know, I got to tell you something, and I mean this sincerely from the bottom of my heart. I voted for Donald Trump 3 times for the simple reason, no more wars, bring peace to the world. And even with the Abraham Accords, I was fine with that because it was going to bring peace to the Middle East. I was all on board with that. And I know President Trump is pro-Israel, probably more than any president, not counting LBJ or probably all of them. They toe the line for Israel. I would hope Donald Trump is our president. As he's done, showed in the last week and several days, he's locking criminals up. He's sending them back to their countries where they belong, arresting murderers, closed our borders. We don't want those people here murdering our children, robbing our kids. He's doing good things, very good things for America. Do one more great thing for America, Mr. President. Open the books on the USS Liberty. You open them up on JFK, RFK, and MLK Jr. Do it for the USS Liberty. It's 58 years coming this June. That's long enough to cover up the truth, sir. I ask you humbly to investigate the USS Liberty or let the survivors speak in an open forum to tell the world the truth.
A great thing about the internet, though, is that it's allowing for the truth to spread.
Absolutely. Look at X, for instance. It's a great space. I got kicked off of Facebook. I got kicked off of Facebook for life because I didn't shut my mouth. So they just banned me for life. No more Phil Turney for you. So it's still that way. I mean, the truth will set you free. And it will set you free if you're allowed to talk about it. And we've got more traction. The USS Liberty Veterans Association has got more traction in the last 7-8 months with the internet. I've been on a lot of different shows, including the wonderful Candace Owens, an angel from heaven that came down to help us, and many more. Jocko Wilnick, Navy SEAL, he's got a wonderful show. Of course, your show, Scott Ritter, Jake Shields.
Yeah, Jake.
Right. He's a good guy. And there's many more. Boy, there's just so many of them I've been on. But Jimmy Dore. There's just plenty of them out there that are all saying the same thing, and all they want is the truth out. And they've been helping us, you know. Without the internet, we'd be at a standstill right now, just like we've been for the last 58 years, close to it.
I always like looking for a silver lining, Phil. Is there one?
Oh, silver lining. I would like to think so. While we're still alive, you know, this really isn't a vengeful thing we're doing. It's not revenge. It's a fruitful endeavor to let the world, America, know the truth about what happened in 1967. So we are not dependent on a foreign government, any government, especially Israel, telling our politicians how to vote and what to say. But that's what they do in the United States Congress, in the House and the Senate, in the dog catcher, the lawn mowing people, everybody around the White House. Same difference. Nobody can talk the truth. Nobody can speak the truth about the USS Liberty. That's for damn sure. I think of it like this. The attack on Pearl Harbor lasted about 2 hours. The attack on the USS Liberty lasted about 2 hours, a little over. At least 2 hours. Now, the significance of Pearl Harbor being attacked and bombed and the significance of the USS Liberty are not parallel, but they're actually equal. Because our country came to arms and they fought for American lives that were killed. And they fought for a purpose. But when you're killed by Israel, you get paid more money than you ever got by our government. More money, more bombs, more planes, more everything. And that continues to this day. Listen, nobody should be allowed to get by with cold-blooded murder, not even Israel. And nobody should be allowed to cover it up, not even our government, because they're complicit in murdering their own citizens. And that's what they're afraid of, and America needs to know that.
How can I follow your work?
You can go to USSLibertyVeterans.org. USSLibertyVeterans.org. You can go there and you can check the site out. In fact, we're getting a brand new site, Jeremy. It's going to be perfectly high-tech, user-friendly for all to use. You can get pictures. You can read comments, letters of all different kinds. Admiral Moore, the Moore Report, Admiral Moore, the former chief of staff, good friend of mine. He says the attack aboard the Liberty was not a mistake. It was a pre-planned attack to sink the ship. And he says, I'll never believe it was a mistaken identity. And he's urged Congress over and over again while he was living to investigate the USS Liberty, and he got nothing but deaf ears. But you can find all this out there. I mean, just so much. Everything that we know, you're going to know. And if you want to donate, go to USSLibertyVeterans.org, and you can donate there to help us keep on going. We're a small organization, and that's all we need is to keep going. We need your help to do that. If you want to donate, that'd be fantastic. I mean, we take donations from around the world, so I'm sure South Africa's got a lot of money. Send it this way.
Philip F. Turney, I don't know where to go from here other than saying thank you for joining me in the trenches.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please visit supportgerm.com.